Hi, my name is Nancy, and I am a field and clinical coordinator for UCLA Daniel Freeman Paramedic School out in Southern California. And my story is a personal story regarding distracting injuries, and this actually happened to me. I was walking down the street of my where I live, and I passed out. And when I woke up, I had a had dislocated my shoulder, at least what I believe dislocated my shoulder. And it was an extreme pain. For anybody who has done that, they know that it's one of the most painful injuries that you can possibly have. I've broken other things, and this one was by far the worst. I immediately went over to my neighbor's house, and he called 911 for me. When the paramedics arrived at scene, I was sitting in a chair with my arm, holding my arm, slinging it in what I felt was the best position of comfort. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. But so they came on, they were very caring, said what happened. And I said, I fell. I didn't even say pass out at the time. I just said I fell. And I think I dislocated my shoulder or broke it. I don't know. I can't move it. And obvious deformity that they could see. Again, very caring. And they said, well, we'll just let you hold in a position of comfort. I think they put like a sling around my arm and then left it as so. And then that was it. And they were getting ready to transport me. Really didn't do a whole lot more there. They're like, okay, we'll get you to the hospital and we'll try to get you some morphine when we get in the back of the ambulance. And so I said, okay. And they said, well, just to get a little more stuff so we can fill out a report here, do you have any history? And I said, well, I do have a history of some heart problems. And they're like, oh, like what? And so I finally was able to tell them a little bit of what heart problems I had, which included a bradycardia and a tachycardia. I had both. And I think at that time they kind of were shocked because I am fairly young. And so, again, they were more focused on the arm and didn't even think anything else. I think that was one of their first kind of mistakes. And it wasn't that I was trying to hold the information back. It was just I was in a lot of pain and I wasn't thinking clearly as a paramedic. So that's what I, told them. Once I said that, then they wanted to get the an EKG on me real quick and stuff like that. It came back normal. So then they said, okay, well, let's go ahead and move you. As soon as they stood me up, though, my blood pressure dropped and I started to pass out again. And I think they realized that something more was wrong with me. And they eventually got me on the gurney and took me over to the hospital. And that was really about it. What was interesting about this, though, is they really didn't do much more follow-up. Even when I told them that I had a history of heart, I take medications, which included calcium channel blocker, Cardizem, and that nitroglycerin and stuff, that they really didn't do anything more with it. It wasn't until I got to the hospital that the doctor said, well, we need to follow up and find out exactly why you passed out. Now, looking back on that, I thought, the treatment was really good. As far as, they handled that. They gave me a little morphine and tried to help with the pain management. I know that we're trying to get 100% pain relief. I was given 2 milligrams of morphine. I can tell you that with a dislocated shoulder, that's like giving baby aspirin. So my suggestion would be that if you have someone that has a dislocation or a fracture, that you listen to their pain. When they asked me what the pain scale was, I told them 10. I've had children. I still rate it at a 10. After the morphine, I rated it at a 9.5. So that should have been enough for them to know, oh, maybe more would have been good. They were really, really reluctant to give it to me. I'm not sure why, but they didn't. And my blood pressure was good. I do know that. At the time when they were giving it to me. The other thing I want to bring up in this, again, distracting injuries, is the fact that they never followed up on why I passed out. I think they either assumed that I fell or tripped or whatever, but it never occurred to them to really look past that. The only reason they did an EKG on me was because I said I have a history of heart problems. They did that. They were good with it. It looked fine, and they left it as is. And what happened further follow up was that my heart rate had slowed so much that I passed out. And it actually had happened a couple times after that. I ended up having a pacemaker put in and stuff. But again, I think the story here is even though I did have the distracting injury of the dislocation of the shoulder, I think follow up should have been like, well, what exactly happened? Did you trip over something? Did you fall? Do you remember passing out? You know, how about hitting your head? I mean, there was nothing about, you know, did you hit your head? Did your neck hurt? I mean, again, things we need to look at. I don't know how feasible it would have been to put me in C-spine, and I probably wouldn't have done that. However, it was not even something they looked at, you know, does your neck hurt? Does your head hurt? So things that I think as a paramedic we should, you know, definitely be aware of in checking those things out and being a little more diligent in investigating why a person has fallen or lost consciousness. So basically that's my story as a patient. Again, they were very nice to me and stuff like that. As a paramedic, though, I saw that there were some things that definitely could have been done a little different. Did it affect my outcome? No, it didn't. I still got the treatment that I needed, and eventually I was followed up and had a pacemaker and stuff, but definitely something you should look at. That's my story.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.